Okay, thought to ponder. I just had a few verses I read through this morning, and I thought it might be just good to think about them. What should we learn from these passages? And there are really six different ones. And forgive me, I was moving furniture up until about 20 minutes before the service, so you don't have a handout. I didn't get back in time. Psalms 119, 147 to 148. I rise up before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. What is that saying? What can we learn from that? What can we learn from the psalmist that wrote Psalm 119, one of the most beautiful psalms? It's the one where it starts fairly early on. It said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word? What do we learn from this? Yes, meditate on the word. What a lot of people do when they can't sleep at night? They read, or they worry about things that are they can't control anyway. And yet the word of God says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by care and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. So this man figured out that, one, he was going to rise up early in the morning. Two, hoping in the word. And number two, when he wakes up at night, he's going to meditate on the word. Smart counsel. Psalms 1, verse 2 says, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How about 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It was a command, a challenge to us. As newborn babes, desire pure milk, that you may grow thereby. We should be desiring the pure milk, which is the word, the milk of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God. Okay, in other words, we ought to be aware of how we're living our lives and purpose to live in such a way that we can present ourselves to God. But then he goes on to say, how do you do that? A worker who does not need to be ashamed. And how does he avoid being ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. You see the theme? What's important to us? The word. The word, every one of us needs to recognize the word is very, very, very important. It is just critical to us living victoriously. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, how do we become complete? The word complete is also could be translated mature and equipped for every good work. How do we get the getting equipped to face life? It's all about the word. It's getting into the word. It is seriously taking the word, recognizing that it does provide instruction and righteousness and gives us reproof and doctrine. You know, these are beautiful truths. Okay, little interaction here. Why do so many Christians struggle to have a regular quiet time and Bible reading, daily read the Bible? Why do so many people struggle with that? What do you think? Okay, before. So many things to do before. That's a good way to put it in perspective. What else? So it says we're busy. Distractions. We get distracted with other things. A lot of times our own problems. Sometimes our own health. You know, these things can do it. Sometimes our health does play us up. Jerry? Oh, yes, we want to do it our way. We don't want to have the instruction.
A carnal Christian doesn't really
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a... Yes, it is. It's a good... there's a warning, and the way you put that, it is a wise warning that when we really do not want to or do not take the time, we are carnal in our life, because it says we're all about doing it our way. We aren't really about doing it God's way, or we would be in the Word. Why have you, what have you found that helps you be faithful in your Bible study, in reading of the Word? Okay, thinking of practical suggestions. Okay, right away. She's saying she's doing it before she's even fully awake, but it's first thing. Brother Jerry. Okay, very. You know what, Jerry? I'll tell you, that is a tremendous help to me. I sometimes I feel a little guilty in this regard, that the idea that I am going to preach a couple times during the week is a tremendous motivator for me to stay faithful in the Word. So what he is saying, that, by the way, applies to all of us. And one of the ways it used to apply in my business life is I would read and then purpose to share. Whatever I would read in my devotions, I would purpose to share somehow or another, bring it into conversation during the day. Not that I was planning on... When I was in business, I had other responsibilities. I wasn't preaching, but I still was living, and I was still around others, and then I could read and just look for ways to creatively bring it into the conversation as a way of witness others. Okay, I'm going to Jerry, and then I'll come up there. Here. Go ahead. Well, your comment about having a pencil, writing down some notes, for me personally, that's huge. Okay, to be able, now, honestly, I don't have a pencil anymore. I do my Bible study on my iPad or my iPhone, but I write notes on almost every, and I highlight, you know, you would attest to that. Everything I hardly can remember something unless I do make a note on. So I have just all sorts of notes in regards to what I saw in the passage, or I underlined the word that stood out, or, and that is a huge thing. It always has been big to me. It's big help. When I first was saved, I was told by someone that, you know, you shouldn't be writing in your Bible. That's disrespectful. Okay, and for a couple of years, I never did. My Bibles were, I was very careful not to fold pages. In fact, that was one of the struggles Pam and I had, because she would not handle the pages as carefully as I would. It was just kind of one of those funny things that went on. But writing, once I finally got over that and got out my pens and my markers, wow, did it come alive. Critical help. Any other? Dave. Note-taking, journaling, right. You have your Bible with you tonight? Okay, when you're done, if you don't know what he was talking about, you really ought to take a look at his Bible. You would, and there's no doubt others in here, but I happen to have found David's different places, so I've had an opportunity to look at it. But that's the way my paper Bibles used to look also. And as a matter of fact, you have still have the loose leaf Bible. He has a loose leaf Bible because he writes enough in it so he can put other pages in. A pretty cool system, actually.
Mm-hmm. You read over it, one of my Bibles, I just took the thumb,
Yeah.
And I tell you, what a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Memorization. Critical. Okay? I'm going to ask a couple others. If you were to declare one thing that a person needed to do to be faithful in reading the Word, what is it? Right with God? What did you say? Commit? What's that? Do it. Just do it. Yeah, just recognizing how important, recognizing who they're from God, they are important. Well, the word that I had was the same one that was already mentioned, commit, or prioritize is the other way that I said it. It will not happen regularly unless you say, in an evening service like this, says, all right, you know what, I haven't been as faithful as I need to be, and I'm going to commit, with God's help, to be faithful on this. That's where it starts. It really, really is important. You do that because you recognize who's written it. You also do it because if you do it over any time, period of time, you recognize, whoa, this is so important. When I don't do it, life is really, really challenging.
I heard somebody say that instead of trying to find time for God, you need to schedule the rest of your life around your time for God.
Yeah, well, that's wise too. That instead of trying to fit it in, do it and fit the rest in. Amen to that. Okay, now I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts that I had done a long time ago. You got to pick a time. That's helpful. Just pick a time. It says, I'm going to do this now. That it goes a long ways, and that's basically what you were saying. You just do it, and then you work the rest of your life around it. And pick a place free from interruption, distractions. Not for Pam and I, isn't that a major challenge? I mean, you talk about something we struggle with is just the activity around us. Where do we get alone to just focus in on the Word? It's an important thing that one does. Recommended procedure. One, pray and ask God to speak to you in His Word. Read the Word with the intending to hear from God. And I didn't always do that, but I'll tell you, since I have, that is precious. You say, Lord, I'm reading your word, and I want to hear from you. Guide me to the right portion of Scripture, and then when I get to it, make sure I don't miss the point that you want me to learn. Help me, Lord. Forgive me if I have sin that's blocking me from understanding this, so I'm right. And, just get right with the Lord. Number two, read a chapter or a paragraph from the Bible. I personally find it so very important to read systematically. Read in this portion of Scripture and don't jump around all over the place. Now, sometimes you can do topical studies for a period of time. It can be a great blessing, but I'm just saying as your pastor, I read through things. I read through a book. I read through the New Testament. I read through the Old Testament, but I definitely do it in a book format, and I work my way through the book. Three, be systematic and go through the whole Bible. In other words, don't just read the New Testament. The Old Testament has great blessings. Even Leviticus can be a tremendous help. And by the way, Sunday, guess what book we're starting? No one knows. No, not Mark. No, I'm picking a book that I have never heard a preacher preach through. No, Malachi. I've never had anyone preach through Malachi. And I started looking at it. I was reading it anyway. And then I started recognizing it was to a people. Listen to this. It was to a people that had a lot of blessings in their life. They had been now able to get the temple restored. They had returned from captivity, but life had gotten really hard. And the temple wasn't like it used to be. The walls were kind of up, but their nation wasn't, they were still under the power of another nation, the Persian nation. And they weren't being very faithful. And they had rediscovered the law in a certain extent, but now they've gotten overwhelmed with life, and they really weren't going God's way. And God had a message for them. And I'm telling you, from my perspective, it parallels where we are today. Is the church as vibrant as it once was in America? No. Man, when I first came to Christ in the 70s, you know, it seemed like everybody was coming to Christ, and the churches were all full. It's not the way it is today. I heard a statistic this week. Over 100, I think it's 130, 140 Muslims regularly and faithfully enter into a place of worship in the Twin Cities area. That happens to be more than born-again evangelical Christians in the Twin Cities area regularly worship. That's a little frightening, isn't it? You have to add all of the Lutherans, and we recognize that some of the Lutherans would be born-again people, but a lot of them might not be because of what the church is now teaching over there. You have to add all of the Lutherans in to match the number. And to exceed the number, you have to include all of Catholicism. Isn't that pathetic? That's the day in which we live, and that's here. We're not talking about in Iran. We're not talking about in Europe. We're talking about in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Systematically go through the whole Bible. That's why Malachi fit so well. I don't know how I got off of that. I marked the key words and phrases and verses that stand out. Pray. You might want to probably get the Bible studies. I mean the prayer list. Pray, pay attention to the context of the passage. And what I'm saying is it is really, really helpful to read through a book. It's helpful to read. Most study Bibles have an introduction, talks about who the book was from, when it was written, who was the human author, what was the main thought. It's really, really helpful to have that when you start reading through the Bible. Reading through a book, because you'll understand it accurately, much more accurately than you would without it. So have the context of the passage. As you are reading through the passage, ask yourself, who said what, to whom, and why, and what did it mean to them? Who said what, to whom, and why, and what did it mean to them? It's all about that context, getting understanding. And sometimes you have to look back at the start of 1 Peter. Were these believers or weren't they? Well, you would see in the one case, yeah, he was writing to believers. So it's really helpful to have the context. Who said what to whom and why? And then 7, separate from analyzing the passage, after reading the passage, ask yourself, how could I apply this to my life? But it's in the context of what the passage teaches then. So you don't extract thoughts that are totally irrelevant to the passage. And then 8, take time to pray. Take time to pray and say, Lord, I need to really put this to my life. And keep a notebook. Somehow or another, write down. The people that are learning the Bible are making notes. We've talked about it already, but it really keep a prayer list also. And daily record the passage you read, your observations, and your personal applications. Amen? Okay. Thought in the middle of the week it would be a good reminder. I know a lot of people kind of, you know, in the Sunday school, I challenge everybody to read 2 chapters of the Bible. You know, one proverb and one other one. The key is that you read some of the Bible, and whether you get through two chapters or get through six or only get through half of one, read it and do your level best to grasp what it's teaching and apply it to your life. All right, we have 8 or 9 minutes left. Why don't we break into smaller groups, take prayer requests among each other, and then pray, and we're formally going to close right now. I'll just have a brief word of prayer, and we'll close with the group, and then as the smaller groups can just break up and close at their time. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be tonight. I just ask you, Lord, that you would guide our prayer time, guide our corporate prayer time, guide our personal lives. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.